a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Last week, we didn't play well. At the end of the day, that's all it came down to. We didn't play well. We had some good moments where we executed, made some nice plays, but they were negated by us. So it's very hard to win, again, when you got the Texans and the Vikings playing against the Texans. That's pretty hard to win that game. So once we get the Texans out of the way and we just go focus on our opponent and we handle us well, then we'll be just fine.
All right, the big bounce back in that from that perspective. We will get a good referendum on Sunday, Seth, if the message from the coaching staff is getting through. Because as actual players pointed out, coming off of those first two wins, where there was plenty to fix, and they didn't fix much of it going into that Minnesota Vikings game.
Right.
I don't know what was going on the week leading up to the Vikings game, but at least with certain parts of this team, the message did not get through.
Right, yeah. And that's, again, where it's kind of a canary in the coal mine in terms of just, all right, overall sloppiness in general, missed assignments on the offensive line, all of these things that lead to sloppy, underperforming football. I think the Texans have been guilty of that really for three straight games. And that's where after those first two victories, I don't think many Texans fans felt like, yeah, that was the team I thought they could be. Yep, that's exactly the team. Really, in those first two games especially, it felt like, okay, they're winning the battle down in and down out physically, but man, they're just shooting themselves in the foot, or they're just not quite getting it. And all of that really comes to roost when you play against what's probably genuinely a good football team in the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep, for sure. All right, so let's get to what they need to do, what to keep an eye on. Keys to the game on Sunday. Noon kickoff, Texans-Jags. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll six-pack this thing. Let's start with number one. Playing off of what D'Amico just said, enough with the penalties. D'Amico promised enough where if he were my parent and I was an eight-year-old, I'd be like, hey, you promised. This was D'Amico talking about the addressing of the pre-snap penalties.
Pre-snap definitely has been addressed. Well, again, we spent time on that, talked about it, we addressed it, and we'll see on Sunday that it's been addressed, and we'll handle it really well. Offensive line had a great day at work today. Everybody's dialed in. Everybody understands who we are, what we're about, and what it's going to take for us to get back on track, and that's what we're focused on.
Okay, well, the last 2 weeks, you've been about 23 penalties for over 200 yards. So.
Yeah, they're not aggressive penalties a lot of the times. It's just all this whole pre-snap operation.
I could deal with it if someone was getting bloody in the process.
The other thing that keeps coming up, some of the O-line propaganda that comes up, because they're devious, these offensive linemen, and they put it out to their media members and everything, and then the media members recite it because they're trusting souls. It's not just the penalties; it's the missed assignments, but the excuse. One excuse cannot be crowd noise, because the Texans handled the crowd noise in Minnesota worse than most teams handle crowd noise. So it's what happens is whatever issues you have, they get writ large when you add crowd noise to it. It's like somebody with a bad personality when they get drunk. You're like, you don't blame it on them being you don't blame it on the alcohol completely. You're like, okay, yeah, it made him worse.
Yeah.
But he's also a jerk when he's stone cold sober.
It amplifies.
Yeah. So that's what the Texans offensive line. They were a sloppy offensive line, but also drunk last Sunday.
Drunk on noise, yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully maybe they can at least be sober and also improved in general. Don't be a jerk on Sunday.
And by the way, nine penalties is not an improvement in my eyes. Like, you need to play a clean game, okay? I know technically, mathematically, it's an improvement. Yeah. But, like, that's – no, you're still a sloppy team. Like, you're beyond sloppy these last 2 weeks. I don't want improvement from 11 down to 10. I want a clean football team is what I want.
It's the types of penalties. Pre-snap penalties. I spend way too much time on NFLpenalties.com these days. I'm turning into HOA Florio, man. I really am. I'm like, well, you've had seven of this type of infraction. You've had three of this other, where you've had very few actually like respectable penalties, like a good old-fashioned holding or illegal man downfield or something.
Is that a real website, NFLpenalties.com?
Oh, you bet your ass it is. Excuse my language. Yeah.
No, we needed that. We need that for emphasis.
You want to look at my Chrome history, Brandy?
God, no. All right.
I got Sean and Brandy going through my browser history all the time.
That's sitting there together with a pointer like, oh, God, what was going on there? Let's get to number two. They got to run the ball, man. And I don't know. Oh. Joe Mixon is out. I was hearing reports earlier this week that Damian Pierce is trending towards playing. He hasn't practiced yet this week. Let's hear from Bobby Slowick. Why has the O-line not shown consistency yet in the run game?
I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The number one reason would be the same thing. I mean, we could probably count on one hand the amount of times we're doing what we're supposed to do. And in the run game, that's a problem. I mean, we had unblocked players tackling us for four-yard losses. That's not how you draw it up. You know what I mean? So we got to go execute.
He said later in the – I don't know if it was later or earlier in the press conference where he's like – he basically just kind of paused, like, we just got to play better.
Yeah. You know? I mean, because it came up. I'm doing a little montage of the times he said we have to execute better.
Yeah.
It really is. I think if I'm Bobby Slowick getting up there to defend myself, it's getting increasingly like that. He's getting up there to defend himself.
He's as under siege as he's been since he got here, right?
Oh,
now.
For sure.
Yes.
And I know some listeners don't like this opinion of mine. My opinion has been that the play calling itself has been just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that still falls back on him as a coordinator is they're not executing the plays that he's calling properly. And it makes everything else look that much worse. There's so many times where there's nothing wrong with this play call. It's that you've got one guy out of position. You got another guy getting his butt kicked. You've got, you know, or the play gets negated. Multiple explosive plays last week were negated because of penalty.
Yep.
The play calling in and of itself, I don't have an issue with right now. There's just nothing you can do play calling wise if guys aren't going to execute. And that still does go back to Bobby Slowick. He's not trying to absolve himself by saying they need to execute better. That's still on him. It's just, I don't think it's the play calling that's the problem.
The Jags against the run. Trayvon Walker's been very good against the run for them this year. The former number one overall pick.
Yeah,
He's not Aiden Hutchinson, who went with the second pick in that draft.
The Jags have not been playing well, so I'm trying to go through and find areas and spots where they are good. They theoretically have the ability to rush the passer. They just haven't been that good at it.
Yep.
Trayvon Walker hasn't developed into Aiden Hutchinson by any stretch of the imagination, but he is still a big, strong dude who's very stout versus the run. And this is a team in the Texans. When I go through these ESPN run block win rates, the Texans' offensive line is 30th. So, yeah, the Jaguars are no good. All right, well, Trayvon Walker has been pretty good versus the run, and you guys have stunk.
Right. There are probably parts of the Jags, like the very specific parts of the Jags, that are looking at this as a get-right game. Like, if I'm playing on the – like, the Jags as a whole can't be. I mean, I know they're 0-3. Like, the Texans are not – Texans being a touchdown underdog at NRG Stadium is not a get-right game. But I got to imagine that the guys on that defensive front watched that Texans offensive line last week and the previous week, and were like, okay, we can get some things done on Sunday that we haven't been able to get done this year, maybe, you know?
There's a cut from Bobby Slowick later we'll play that agitated me a little bit when talking about the run game. He said, hey, well, you know, Cam Akers only ran the ball 9 times, so you can't tell much from that. And that's a little bit like, well, yeah, I mean, that's like saying, like, don't judge my work record because I only showed up to work 9 times. You know, that's not a good sample size. You know, like,
God bless
you. Sure, and it's Homer Simpson. Be like, well, don't blame all the nuclear meltdowns on me.
Right.
Only 2 of them happened on the 9 days I showed
there
up.
There you go. Let's get to number 3. This is another O-line topic, but you got to protect C.J. Stroud, and particularly if you're going in super undermanned at wide receiver. If you're going in with guys that, you know, can't beat man coverage or, you know, find the soft spots in the zone where CJ knows he can get rid of it quickly, and he knows where Tank is going to be, and he knows where Nico is going to be. They've got that chemistry there. Diggs is going to play, obviously. He's fully healthy. But the other two, Nico limited with a hamstring, and Tank hasn't practiced all week. And they just purely, forget about who the wide receivers are, just, you know, purely empirically, they've not protected CJ well the last couple of weeks. He was sacked four times for 42 yards, too many times, really, in the first three games. He's been forced out of the pocket and forced to run around. There's been clutter in the pocket. I mean, Brian Flores was just pounding the blitz button on them last week. CJ Stroud with time is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in football. Like, he's
right,
you know.
And I think even last week, CJ made some great plays, some of them negated by penalties that were done under duress. The ball came out very fast. There's only one place you could have gone with the ball on that play, and it was a tight window throw, and he did it. And I'm, you know, CJ would never claim that he played great last week or anything, but I think if he had played that way with actually good things happening around him, I think it could have been a great performance.
Yes.
You know, they still did it. They had over 300 yards passing, and it wasn't you can say, okay, well, some of that was playing from behind or what have you. CJ wasn't the issue. I'm not at that point yet where I'm saying, oh yeah, well, typical sophomore slump.
No,
I don't think it's that.
No,
I don't
no.
think that's the case whatsoever.
Nope. No, I mean, he's got another level he can get to, but he ain't the problem right now for sure.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sure. Number four, heat up pretty boy Trev, man. Heat up this long-haired pretty boy dude who hasn't won a game since Week 12 at NRG Stadium last season.
There's a really good spot in Matt Burke's presser yesterday. The audio is not great. I'll probably tweet this out with captions or something, where I think Cody Stutes was starting a question. I don't know who it was. Somebody was asking a question, and he prefaced it by saying, the last time Trevor Lawrence won a game was last year here in Houston, and Burke is funny. Burke kind of raises his eyebrows a little and goes, oh, good for him.
I didn't see that. I can just picture Matt Burke, though. That sounds funny.
I could see it. And then there was a huge laugh. And I think Burke meant it more from a self-deprecating way.
For sure. But I can see
totally,
it, and I can tell you that.
I don't want to put it out, but it's so funny. But if I put it on social media, I think it's going to be interpreted as shade
maybe.
That he's throwing. I think he meant it self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Like, ah, great.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
But I think Jaguars fans might feel differently.
And he was, he being Trevor Lawrence, was outstanding in that game. He threw for 364 yards. So he hadn't even, I don't even know if he's had a good game since that game, let alone won a game. 0-8, 59% completion percentage. 11-8 touchdown to interception ratio, which in modern football is terrible. 6.5 yards per attempt and a passer rating of under 80. 79.7 passer rating.
Just paid him.
And they just paid him like a month ago. Yeah.
It's just immediately how he rewards
0-3. 0-3 and looking completely out of sorts on Monday Night Football.
He has offensive line issues as well. And look, with Trevor Lawrence, if you're evaluating his contract or anything else like that, you're going to point to the consistency. He's got several stretches of really good football play in his career. So I'm not sleeping on Trevor Lawrence. I think the fact that he's got a rookie wide receiver and then also Gabe Davis, free agent pickup, that it could be a matter of time until things all of a sudden click, and maybe the pass protection remains an issue. That's where the Texans' big area of opportunity is versus the Jaguars. The Jags' offensive tackles have not played well, and the Texans' defensive ends have played well.
Yep.
So that's you couldn't make it any simpler. Hey, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, go to work.
Yep. Number five. This isn't even like an X's and O's thing. Let's get a man fired. How about that? Let's get Doug Peterson and his center part hair fired on Sunday. The Texans, I did this same exercise on my podcast, Seth, that drops this morning, the Hutopia, my preview. And the more I talked about the Texans letting mediocre teams hang around with them, the more I talked about it. The Texans, largely, since the beginning of last year, have done one of two things. They've won a lot of games where they've let inferior teams or teams that don't deserve to be hanging around, letting them hang around and then winning it in the end, or getting blown out by teams that are equal or better than them. That's the two things they've been doing the most. And the more I talked about it, the more agitated I got. I'm like, guys, you are so much better than this. Like, you finish a team. If you get up by 10-0 or 14-0, I don't want to be sweating this thing out in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying I'm going to be angry if you're not up 14-0 or 17-0. If this is a game where it's 17-17 going into the fourth quarter because they've been going back and forth and back and forth, then so be it. I can live with that. But it's these games where you get up by double digits, and it's these games where you allow football stupidity to let teams hang around. You got to stop with this, man.
Like, you're just not ready for prime time.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's a classic. Wow. The feeling I had after that, the Vikings game, was, oh, we're right back to where we were versus the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Except that without the excuse of injuries.
Right.
You know? Like, at least versus the Ravens, Nico was your only good wide receiver. Hey, you got... Yeah, the interior offensive line is too young, and they're all backups. Now you're as close to full strength as any NFL team can expect to be these days, and it was just a non-competition versus the Vikings.
I was thinking about this last night. I think this team has good survival instincts. Like, I think once they get into a game that's close, I trust that they can do a lot of the right things in the last 5 minutes of a game to go close the deal. I don't think they have a real good killer instinct right now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they're not good at putting their foot on the throat of an opponent that they've got down right now.
Yeah.
So
Doug Peterson, I'm watching the Menendez brothers documentary, docudrama
on
Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. And I look at both Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence kind of like when the Menendez brothers, little rich kids, were in prison.
Yeah.
And they were not ready for prison. they were not. This was not what they were. This was not what their upbringing had prepared them for. That's where Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson are right now.
They're
let's just go ahead and make them into what they are. You know, just let's just go ahead and let's get them beat with let's get them beat in the corner of their cell.
Someone needs to take the graphic from that docudrama and put their faces on the two Menendez brothers right there.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like there's a scene in prison where one of the Menendez brothers wears a wig.
Yeah.
And like the really good-looking, most popular one wears the most popular Menendez brother wears a
quite
wig.
Quite the accomplishment.
There's a scene in the shower where somebody rips his wig off. That's what I want to do to Doug Peterson. Rip his wig off.
Yeah, center part wig. Last one, my prediction, 27-17 Texans. That's my prediction for the game. On Sunday, noon kick here on Sports Radio 610. All right, let's get to headlines. We'll get to the injuries with the Texans, including a significant one that popped up yesterday, Thursday Night Football. Big retirement of an Astros legend, and I am not using the word Astros legend or the moniker ironically at all. This guy is an Astros legend. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in headlines next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.